few hours, there's a spectacle called the Super Bowl that's going to be taking place. 75,000 will be in attendance for this Super Bowl. There is estimated to be about 200 million viewers that will be watching this one event. And people who don't even watch football will be watching the Super Bowl today. There's many gatherings that will be going on and a lot of different parties and things for this one occasion. And so for us who are Christians, we'll be here tonight, so we won't be necessarily partaking at the beginning of those festivities. Hopefully you'll have a little time to catch the end of it, but many who don't even watch it will be watching this Super Bowl, and they don't, some just don't watch the Super Bowl for football. Sometimes they watch it for the commercials. And so there's a lot of advertisement that goes into these commercials, and billions of dollars have been spent on this one event. Billions of dollars has been spent on this one event, whether it's food, whether it's the advertisement fees that they have, whether it's anything that you could think of. There's billions of dollars that have been spent on this one occasion. And so tonight there'll be two teams. There'll be two teams that will face off and all to crown one champion. And we take this word champion very seriously. In the United States of America, we take it seriously. I mean, we will go to great lengths in order to be called a champion. We want to be called a champion at all costs. I mean, if you look at the NBA, the way they trade people around, and they don't care about your families, they don't care about anything else that you might have going on personally, they say it's always business because they're seeking to have this title of being a champion. By any means necessary, they're willing to be called a champion. Many people, many teams play this sport of football, but there's only two teams that make it to the Super Bowl. And of those two teams, there's only one that will be crowned. So what does it take to become a champion is the question that's posed today. What does it take? Well, there's five things that there's five traits that you must have in order to become a champion, and especially as it pertains to the football player. But these five traits that we're talking about are not only solely directed towards being a champion as a football player. These five traits that we're going to talk about are five traits that pertains to anyone who is successful. Anyone who's successful, these five traits, they have. And so this morning, what we want to do is apply these five traits to the Christian. And to ask ourselves, as we said, the question, the title of our sermon is, what makes a Christian a champion? And so that's the question that we're going to answer. There's a saying that says winning. Winning is not something that's done just every once in a while. It's something that you do all the time. You don't just win once in a while. You don't do things right just once in a while. You have to do things right all the time. It has to be repetitive. It has to be in your nature. Winning is a habit. And not only is winning a habit, unfortunately, losing is a habit. So there's some habits that you pick up either way, and they will either accumulate to you being one who's a winner or one who's being a loser. When we talk about football, every time that a football player steps on the field, from the very bottom of his feet, from the very heels of him, to the very top of his head, every part of his body, every inch of his being has to play. Every inch of his being has to be active out there on that field. The game of life, life is not a game, but we're using this for analogy purposes. The game of life is played every single day. We go through it every day, and we're dealing with life challenges every single day. But the difference is we are not playing against others. In the Christian realm, we are not playing against others. Here on this field, it's just you The only person that's there is you, and this is your field all by yourself. You're not worried about what someone else is doing, how well they are performing, how well this person is doing, how much better they are at doing this than you. In this race, you're the only one who's there. You're the only one who can determine how fast or how well you run your race. And the goal is to run towards God. That's the goal. To run towards God. In this game of life, which we're talking about, it is not just simply about raising up a trophy. It is not just simply about raising up a trophy. This prize that we have to gain is far greater than any trophy that you can think about. The prize that's at stake is eternal life. The prize that is at stake is eternal life, and God is willing to give it to us, those who are willing to run this race properly. Like the Super Bowl, though, as we said, there's only few that make it to the Super Bowl. There's only two teams. And the same will apply in the Christian realm. Only few will become a champion. In Matthew chapter 7, verse 14, it says this, "Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way that leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it." Two of the five traits of which makes a Christian a champion is comprised in these following passages. Open your Bibles, if you will, with me this morning. And notice 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 24. Notice what it says. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 24. "Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run that ye may obtain." Here in this situation, Paul is giving them an analogy. He's giving them an analogy as to that of athletes. This is a reference to the Isthmian Games that were played, a precursor to the Olympic Games, which were played back in these times. And so Paul is giving them this analogy to run their race and their Christian race as that of an athlete. Paul is encouraging them to compete for the heavenly prize, just as these athletes would for the prize that they would obtain during these Isthmian Games. Notice verse 25. Verse 25 says, "And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible." Verse 26. "I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should become a castaway." Philippians 3, chapter 13. Notice that. Philippians 3, verse 13. 13, 14. It says, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. I press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." The first trait that one needs to have in order to be a champion is desire. The first trait that one needs to have in order to become a champion is desire. Desire is a want to. It's a want to. It's a great desire to want something so bad that you can taste it, that you can have it, that you can grasp it, and you must have it at all costs. That's what desire is. It becomes your main focus and objective when we desire something. This kind of desire for God should compel us to run with all that we have. Just as we said about those football players, every inch of their body has to play. So therefore, we should be willing, if we're going to have this same kind of attitude to be a champion for God, we should give all of ourselves to Him. Every inch of us should be doing the best that we can to please Him. Unfortunately, it's the case that many are settling. Many are not seeking to be a champion for God. We'll seek to be champions for other things, but not for God. When it comes to God, somehow we'll settle for bronze. We'll settle for just being silver when it comes to God. We don't seek after the gold. In other realms, we'll seek after the gold, but when it comes to God, we only settle for being mediocre. We want the least of things that we can have in order to be associated with Him. Paul said that we are to press on. We are to press on, but many are happy to watch from the sides. Many are content to allow others to go into the fields, into the mission fields, and to do all the work. I'm content to watch other Christians do the work of God and just give them moral support, but never myself get busy in the work. Many are content to settle for bronze, for silver. Many are content to watch from the sidelines. The difference between a successful person and others is not necessarily the lack of knowledge. It's not the lack of knowledge. It's not the lack of ability. It's the lack of will. The lack of will is most times what hinders a person from being a champion. You see, because some individuals have a lot of knowledge. They have a lot of knowledge on a lot of things, but they don't have that will or desire to do what it takes to get to where they need to be. And if they pass that knowledge on to someone else who has the will and desire but lack the knowledge, that person who lacked the knowledge but has the desire will surpass them. It's about the will that you have. Are you willing to go through some things in order to be successful? Paul had this type of desire, and he urged all who he was to come in contact with to have the same. The second trait is discipline. First, you have to have the desire. Then second, you have to have discipline. Desire by itself is not enough. It is not enough. It only takes shape when it is accompanied with discipline. That's the only time that your desire is going to come to fruition, when it takes place and is accompanied with discipline. You may have the want to. You may have the want to, but if you do not have the get to, I got to. If you don't have the I got to, then you will never get to. And what I'm saying by that is that if all I have is the desire to do something, I want to do that, but I never have the I have to do that, I will never do that thing. We have to have the discipline that's accompanied with this. This discipline is the fuel for success. It's the fuel for success, you see, because if you have the prettiest car there is, it could be the fastest, the most prettiest car there ever was, but if that car does not have fuel, if it does not have gas, it's going nowhere. It's going absolutely nowhere. So we must take time to fuel that car if we want that car to go any kind of distance. If we wanted to be able to compete in things, we must fuel it. The same thing applies for the Christian. Discipline is the fuel for us. It helps us, it helps the Christian to grow. The Christian needs to grow. Paul talks about athletes and going into training in order to win. You must train in order to win. He says that he brings his body into subjection, which is submission. Bring his body into subjection, which is not going to be easy. This is not going to be easy. It does not happen fast when you have to discipline yourself. When you discipline yourself, you are doing something. You are doing this in order to get rid of something that you do not need so that you can obtain that which you do need. That's what we do in disciplining ourselves. We're getting rid of those things which we don't need in order to obtain that which we do need. Paul says he stretched and strained and pressed towards the goal. He pressed towards the goal. Without discipline, he could have easily just quit. But he had a desire. He was motivated to reach his goal, to reach his cause. Notice 1 Timothy chapter 4. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7. Let's notice how we are to discipline ourselves. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7. It says, but reject profane and old wives' fables and exercise yourself towards godliness. You see, it says reject profane and old wives' fables. In order to reject those things, you first must be able to recognize them. In order to do that, you must begin to exercise godliness. So that way, you must understand the difference between right and wrong, which is godly and which is wicked. The key is to exercise godliness. Godliness just does not come upon us. This is not something that we just naturally have, and everyone around us, or else everyone around us would be godly individuals. It's something that you have to exercise. You have to practice. You have to put this into work. Exercise godliness is going to take discipline in order to reject profane and old wives' fables. It's going to take discipline. Titus chapter 3, verse 9. Notice that. Titus chapter 3, verse 9. Notice what it says here. But avoid foolish questions and genealogies and contentions and strivings about the law, for they are unprofitable and vain. But avoid foolish questions. You see, sometimes people will ask you things that are unworthy of a response. They will ask you things that are unworthy of a response. And we are fools in order to give them the answer, an answer in those kinds of situations. You see, because some people are not asking a question to know of your knowledge. They are antagonists. They want to pick a fight. They want to argue. They want to make a scene. They want to get you out of your character. God wants you to be disciplined enough to be able to recognize those situations, when it is profitable and unprofitable for you to speak or to answer certain individuals' questions. Sometimes we can try to answer a question about a question that someone might pose, and it will do more harm than it does good. That's why it says you're answering in vain. Be careful about those kind of things. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Notice verse 14 through 16. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 14 through 16. Notice what it says. Of these things put them in remembrance, charging them before the Lord that they strive not about words to not profit, but to the subverting of the hearers. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman neither not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. But shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness. You see, the key to us being disciplined is studying. Studying the word of God to understand what is righteous and what is wicked. When we understand those things, then we continue studying, we begin to do as God would have us to do, and we're exercising godliness. But if we're not studying, we're more subject to be victim of ungodliness and to fall into these other traps that so long to behold us. 2 Timothy chapter, in the same chapter, drop down to verse 22. Verse 22 says, flee also youthful lust, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace, with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. Verse 23, but foolish and unlearned questions avoid, knowing that they do gender strifes. And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves. God is telling us that we have to be patient. Although people might ask you certain various different questions that might seem to contradict themselves, we are not to respond in such a way that is unkind of a Christian and make them feel less than themselves. Correct them. Be apt to teach. Be equipped with the word of God. Be able to teach one and be patient in doing so. And be patient in meekness, instructing those that impose themselves. That's what a fool does. They oppose themselves. And so that you ought to expect that that's going to happen. When we study with individuals who are not of this same faith, they will oppose themselves. And we must be patient in doing so, and apt and willing, and have the kind of demeanor that will be able to convey the message that needs to be conveyed in those moments. There are no shortcuts to victory, my friends. There are no shortcuts. You see, when different denominations teach these different things, they will oppose themselves when we tell them to go back to the very beginning of time when the church first began. It only began with one. And how do we get to many? They will begin to oppose themselves. There are no shortcuts to victory. There are no shortcuts. You must discipline yourselves. You must have the desire. There will be tough times. There will be hardships, but you have to continue to work through them in order to win. Paul said that many run aimlessly. Many run aimlessly. You see, because as we said that when you think of individuals who somehow come up with another doctrine than what's in this Bible, when they come up with another doctrine other than this, you know, some denominations actually have a zeal of God. As Paul said about Israel, he says, I reckon that they have a zeal of God, but it's not according to knowledge. It's not according to knowledge. They think that they are in awe of God. They say they love him, and they really seem to have some kind of relationship as to which would perceive to be of God, but it's not according to his word. But it's not according to the way that he would have you to worship him. Many are running aimlessly, and you must make sure that you are not one of those individuals who are running aimlessly, who don't have the goal in mind, who's not apt to teach, who's not aware of what God's word teaches. We're seeking to be a champion. It's going to take discipline. It's going to take some work. It's going to take desire. That's key. It's going to take desire. If you don't want it, no one can make you have it. No one can make you have it. No one can make you do anything. You yourself have to have the desire. And if you desire it enough, then you will discipline yourself in order to achieve that goal which you so long to have. Tonight, we're going to go through the last three traits. We hope that you'll come back with us and join us and hear these last three traits that it takes to be a champion. But right now, we want to extend the invitation. For one who might be here this morning who's not yet obeyed the gospel, we give you an opportunity. Christ says he extends his invitation anytime and every time, anytime that you might have a heart to believe in him and repent of your sins and confess him to be the Son of God and then be baptized. He says his doors are always open and he's willing to receive you at any time. Should you be willing to do those things, he says, and be faithful unto me, I'll give you a crown of life. Just as though in those Isthmian games, they gave those individuals a crown of leaves. A crown of leaves. That was their reward. They gave them a crown of leaves, and Christ offers you a crown if you are willing to obey him. Or are you one who's already a member of the body of Christ, who's walked contrary to doing the things which God would have you to do? And you desire to make yourself, and you've not given yourself fully to him. You've been lackadaisical in your efforts in his kingdom and doing the things which he would have you to do. And you want to make yourself right on this morning. Come now, as you together stand and sing.
Fearless soul, why will you
linger from the
invitation
to meet the God?